The week of the underdogs, footy's return see the Suns, the Roos and the Saints all prevail. The match review panel, Sean Burgoyne and Jeremy McGovern among those in the firing line. And following his side's draw on Thursday night, we speak to a current Pie and two-time Geelong Premiership player. All this and more on the Centre Square podcast.
And I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Pye of the Fremantle Football Club.
She from the boundary needs to be in perfect the yells. He's got the most impossible goal. From inside the centre square, Boyce kicked the goal.
Yes, welcome to the Centre Square podcast on 91.3 Sport FM. My name's Ethan Roth, and with me is Noah Tonkin, Callan Levitt, and Luca Vinning. Boys, you heard it there first. Some unbelievable mixed results. How did you guys see it?
Yeah, it was an interesting round of football, wasn't it? A couple of close games, a couple of floggings. All in all, it was pretty entertaining, I thought, though, Luca.
Yeah, well, it was a bit of an interesting return to football with, the game on Thursday night, but it was good to have football back, and it was exciting to, watch some football again. Cal, what do you think of it?
Yeah, as you said, Luca, it's good to have football back. It's good to see it. Obviously, the 3 months off of football, I think everyone enjoyed the footy being back on the TV. It was a good round of footy, as Noah said as well. A couple floggings, a couple close ones, and a draw. So, yeah.
Yep, so speaking of that draw, we'll take a look at the results and talking points out of each game. So, starting off on Thursday night, Collingwood 36, drew with Richmond 36. Collingwood, they got off to a fast start, kicking the first four goals. Tom Phillips, a bit of an unlikely goal kicker, kicking two of them. Tom Lynch got the Tigers back in it. He ended up with three goals. From there, Collingwood led at every change. DeGoey and Martin played on each other throughout. It was a pretty even contest. And there was a bit of confusion when Jack Higgins took a mark, if it was across the line or not. Some would say it had to be a draw in this bizarre season of 2020 to kick things off.
Yeah, well, it was a low-scoring game. I think it ended up being 36 apiece to draw it off. So, at the end of that game, I was thinking, well, is this isolation period going to have an impact on the low scores? Just with the lack of match simulation that players have been able to do. Yes, they've done uncontested ball work and a lot of aerobic fitness, but I think just the body fitness and the match style play that they've been lacking in the off season was maybe that had an impact to it. But and interesting to see Jack Revolt,
not be able to kick one 35
under 10s kids could have kicked that from 35 out.
Well, we will touch on that later as it comes up. Cal, you're going to run us through the next game on Friday.
Yeah, the Geelong-Hawthorn game. So Geelong pumped the Hawks. It was an even first half, but after that, it was all Geelong pretty much. Graham Myers had 20 disposals, kicked three goals. Joel Selwood also contributed. And Patrick Dangerfield was pretty handy in his 250th. And Hawthorn only had one multiple goal kicker in Jack Gunston. I didn't watch much of the game because I was at training.
Other commitments
at training, but... Yeah, no, I got back home, it was half time, and I thought, oh, it's a good game to watch on Friday night after training, and then it was pretty much all Geelong. Hawthorn couldn't do anything, really.
So I got home from footy and watched it in the second half, and there was, not too much going.
Exactly the same
way
for me as well. I got home from training.
trifecta there.
So
that one was obviously 108-47. Moving on to Saturday, Luca.
Yeah, well, a lot of positives to come out of Fremantle. End scores being, Brisbane beating them 81-69. Good to see Fife and Neil match up on each other. Lockie Neil had a fair chunk of him in the first quarter. I think Fife only had two touches at quarter time or something. And it was just a bit of flat footedness and not willing to do some body work around the contest. But Charlie Cameron kicking four goals inside the first half. Harris Andrews, it felt like Fremantle were just kicking it straight to him. I think he had about three intercept marks at quarter time or something again. Mm. And again, first quarter was terrible for Fremantle, no tackles at all.
Not what you want.
No,
not what you want. No.
A successful side, no matter what, they always have good pressure, don't they?
Yeah, although it was good to see Fremantle in the second half move Griffin Logue onto Charlie Cameron. I think that kept him goalless. Sean Darcy injured.
Had to move into the ruck.
Yeah, Rory Lobb would be kicking himself. He just doesn't want to play ruck at all. And then
even though he's 207 centimetres,
he doesn't want to play ruck.
Strange.
Wants to play that
207.
Yeah, he's something like that.
So yeah, he wants to play that ruck. Want to play that ruck. I mean, he wants to play forward.
Yeah.
And every year, some Freo ruckman goes down. He has to go play in the ruck.
I like him forward.
Yeah. Well, for a very long time, Fremantle have with the two rucks, they've had one in the forward, like one pretty much in the square.
Yeah.
And then the other in the ruck because they did that with was it Lobbin Sanderlands last year? Yeah, they did that last year.
Yeah.
It'd be good to see Rory Lobb going forward. Lloyd Meek might debut next year. They're talking about it.
Yeah, well,
Lloyd Meek and
Fremantle had plenty of opportunity. Just ran out of time, really.
Yeah.
Tired legs, I guess fatigue played a part in that. But
loads of positives to come out of it. And, even as a Fremantle supporter, I'm actually pretty happy that they're able to go. I'm not happy that they lost, but pretty good to go toe-to-toe with potentially a top-8 side in the Lions.
Yeah. So moving on to the Super Saturday, as they call it. Noah, you're going to run us through the next one.
Yes, Carlton defeated by Melbourne, 53-54. This was a great game. The Blues came up from 42 points down to close the gap. And at one point, it looked like the Blues were going to clinch the win when Patrick Cripps was thrown forward. Unfortunately, Sam Walsh made a mistake deep in the last quarter, kicking the ball to a 2-on-1, which advantaged the D's side. I think Sam Walsh even made 2 mistakes, if I remember correctly. Bit unlike the rising star from last year.
I suppose you can't bag him too much. Everyone makes mistakes in their career, and obviously still very good.
Melbourne, did you guys watch this game?
Yeah, Melbourne were actually really lucky to get the win.
Dominant in the first half.
Yeah, well, most of the last quarter it was all Carlton.
Yeah,
100%. And you're just thinking, when's Carlton going to get the lead? And this time on the board's slowly ticking down.
Obviously, what's his name? Nick Newman, I think that's his name.
Injured, unfortunately.
First 5 minutes.
Had a good year
last
year coming across from the Swans. But the D's blooded a few youngsters. I know Trent Rivers and Luke Jackson, a couple of WA boys, played pretty well, actually, especially Rivers off halfback.
I saw Jackson 12 touches.
Looked pretty flashy and showed signs, which is really promising.
I saw Jackson in the first half. He did well, got to the right position, just wasn't holding on to them. But that was good to see. Harley Bunnell back for Melbourne, which was
good
to see.
Had 14 touches.
14 touches.
Unscathed.
Looked very happy after the game. He was absolutely stoked, which you obviously would be.
It's good to
third game of AFL football.
He looks fresh, doesn't he? Coming to this new club.
Not too sure.
He looks like he's liking his footy again.
Yep. Gold Coast defeated 90, defeated West Coast.
Gee, you wouldn't have picked that, would you?
You would have not.
You wouldn't, but
well done to Brad Johnson from Fox Footy, though, for actually predicting it.
And myself.
Yep, Cal.
I did pick Gold Coast. You boys laughed at me last week when I said, I'm going to pick the Gold Coast Suns. You all thought it was hilarious. Thought I was taking a joke.
Tipping Euro, you are. The Suns ended their 19-game losing streak. Adam Simpson said that his side played like a young side and Gold Coast played like an experienced outfit, which is very accurate. Very similar to the Friday night game. It was close until halfway, and then Matt Rowe and Noah Anderson took over and showed why they were picks 1 and 2 in last year's draft. Possibly the best win in the club's history.
Definitely the best win in the club's history, I'd say.
Could it be the turning point?
That'd be a good prediction.
I'm excited to see how they play this weekend. I think it's...
They're best in the Crows.
They could win another one.
Could go 2 in a row, Exactly. 19-game losing streak, 2 in a row.
But they did do that a couple of years. Was it last year or the year before? They won first 3 games.
They were 3-1.
Yeah, they were 3-1. Yeah. And everyone thought, oh, Gold Coast, they turned it around. And then straight back down the bottom of the ladder. So, but it'll be interesting to see how they play. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's exciting time, to be a Gold Coast supporter at the moment.
Across the Nullarbor, Port Adelaide, the showdown, 110 defeated Adelaide 35. Cal?
Yeah, that was not really much of a contest. I think Bray was like, oh, I'm going to watch the showdown over his Eagles. I think he realised that was pretty bad.
They established themselves as South Australia's best team. Rosie, Motlop, and the showdown medalist Travis Boak. Did he have a bit of, a point to prove, maybe?
Definitely had a point to prove after he heard he was in strife last week being a Hall of Famer.
Della Hunty's fired him all up.
Kitchen, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Kitchen.
Kitchen.
Luke got the mixed around there.
Yeah,
that's
just
right.
Got the mix up.
Come on, mate.
But it'll be interesting to see how long Matthew Nicks lasts as senior coach. He's obviously not really experienced in terms of the senior coaching ranks, but yeah, it's obviously not his fault. They've had a massive turnaround, but you got to feel for him.
Yeah, and good to see crowds at this game as well. I think it was 2,200 odd or something at the game.
400.
Yeah. So yeah, really good to see crowds at the game, and although they're on the top tier, sitting a handful of seats apart, you know, it's still still good. Would have been a great experience to be inside the game.
Yeah, I did hear from someone who was actually at the game, one of the journos, said there was actually a good atmosphere despite there not being many people there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good to see.
Next game, Luca.
Yeah, well, GWS were defeated by North Melbourne. Final score 60-80. Sean Higgins, 8 disposals.
28 disposals.
Yeah.
Cam Zerha did most of the work.
Yeah, Jack Zeeble up forward seemed to work as they stunned the Giants on their home turf. So, you know, I didn't end up watching. I think I only watched about a quarter of it.
I watched the last half. Maybe
they were impressive, weren't they? The Roos.
Yeah, they were good. They were real good. What was it? I think they were 4 goals up. And GWS kicked 2 in a row in about 2 minutes, and I thought, oh no, GWS is gonna come back, maybe steal one from the Roos, but then they just kicked away, kicking another 3 in a row, and it was all over from there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Noah, second last game.
Sydney defeated by Essendon, 73-79. Yeah, despite waking up at 5:30 a.m. that day, Essendon showed no signs of bad preparation. They won a classic game, Darcy Parrish with the sealer. That was a classy goal, wasn't it? Did you guys watch the game?
I did, and they said he's starting to arrive. He's played 78 games, Parrish. I think a lot of people thought he would do a lot more by now. He's in that sort of category where he should be stepping up.
He's a little bit like that Jack Silvani type, except it's like he's a bit better, you know.
People, it's good for him,
high
though.
Expectations.
Maybe that's the game he needs, the confidence to take it to that next level and really, I guess, oppose himself in the league.
Yeah.
And finishing off 6 o'clock game. Do you reckon it's here to stay, the late game on the side?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Adds another dimension, doesn't it? St Kilda, 88, defeated Bulldogs, 49. The Bulldogs' poor start to the season continued. They were never fully in it. And you would think there's a question mark over where they're at. The Saints made a statement. It was a real statement game from them, and Max King really showed his potential. It was really good.
Yeah, Ratten's recruits done well, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did.
I think Ratten said after the game, it's always good when you wake up the next morning in the first 10 seconds, you realise you've won the game.
Yeah, that would be a nice realisation if you've had a deep sleep and you can't remember.
Anyway, Cal, Centre Square Player of the Year, the second time we've done this, who got the 3-2-1 as well as unlucky to miss from our point of view?
Yep, so first time, second time, obviously round two, so that's what happened.
Did we do round one?
We did.
Brody Grundy got 3, Cripps got 2, and Jack Viney from the Melbourne Demons.
Yes, that's correct.
So here we go. I'll go 1-2-3, not 3-2-1. So
yep.
One vote, Christian Petrarca, 24 disposals, 2 goals, and was really damaging in that first half. Slacked off towards the end, but did kick a big goal.
Solid.
Kicked that big goal in the third quarter that kind of lifted the D's, but didn't really do too much after that. So that's why he's got the one vote. Two votes, Scott Penderbury, 31 disposals, was really clean. And made the right decisions and had the second most metres gained in the game. He was really clean, as it says there. It was dewy. I had to say clean again because I didn't want to stuff it up again.
Yeah, a bit of cream.
Yeah, a bit of cream. Cream roasted the top, Penderbury, best player on the field that night. So gave him the 2 and 3 votes.
Very hard to go past this.
Three votes. The number one pick from last year's draft, Matt Rowell, 26 disposals, 2 goals and 7 tackles in just his second game. I watched that game. No one could tackle him. No one could touch him. He was clean. He was hitting his targets, kicking goals. He was doing it all pretty much.
Mm. You boys even shrugged off Liam Ryan.
Got a message from Joel Seld after the game.
He was pumped. Can't wait
to see you on the big stage for 15 more years.
He was pumped about that as well.
Andy McGrath also sent him a message, which he's pretty chuffed with. But he's very mature, isn't he?
He looked pretty promising.
Very bulky as well, which helps in the tight contest.
All right, the unlucky ones to miss for this week. We've got Lachie Neal, who had a really good game.
Against 21 touches,
2 goals.
Against his old side.
Yeah, and then Todd Goldstein, who I reckon should have got the 1 ahead of Petrarca, but Ethan was pretty set on having Petrarca at one vote, so we allowed it. Goldstein had about, I think he had 51 hitouts,
a goal,
and 19 disposals. So I reckon that could have been one vote.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And Charlie Cameron.
Charlie Cameron as well.
Yeah, handful of goals. He had a crazy first half of that game.
Did sort of shut him down, maybe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I mean, right. For the listeners, you can argue against all, but that's our...
It was a good round.
Say is what we say.
Players had really good weeks, so it was a tough one to choose out of, but those are the three we've gone with. Luca, in strife.
Who's in strife?
Well, in strife, I think we touched on it a little bit before. It's everyone's favourite time of the week.
Who does not love a bit of in strife?
In strife, first up, from the Thursday night game. Get us back to football, we've been waiting for, was it 2.5 months, nearly 3 months to watch football?
81 days
to watch football.
Yep.
And Jack Revolt.
Forgot how to kick the football.
Three-time Coleman medalist.
Yep.
Three-time All-Australian.
Yeah.
And I think he's...
Two-time premiership player.
Yeah, two-time premiership
player. One of the icons of the league.
Yeah. One of the best forwards in the league at the moment.
Yep.
And he cannot kick a goal from 35 metres out.
It was pretty embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Like, didn't get the distance.
Not only that, he had a quiet game, so it made it a lot worse, didn't he? It's not as if, you know, he was influential. I think... Yeah, sometimes that happens, though, and, you know, I highly doubt he'll make that mistake. He'll kick through it next time. Yeah.
I hate to say it, that was probably what lost in the game, to be brutally honest.
Maybe not.
Well, if they had to register the score there, then they would have been up.
Well, we never know, but yes.
Yeah.
It was in the second quarter, so...
No, it was in the...
It was in the last quarter.
It was in the last six minutes or something. So that would have won them the game. Yep.
Sorry, my bad.
Who's next?
Yeah, well, he's well in strife.
He's definitely in strife after that.
Now, coming off Melbourne's win, the whole Melbourne Footy Club, they're in a bit of strife. Maxi Gorn, I think he was doing an interview. Was it Fox he was with?
Yeah, Sarah Jones, I believe.
Yeah, and he was coming off the ground and having a quick chat to them. And his team's starting to belt out the song before he's even down there.
Him, Jaden Hunt, Tomlinson, Langdon. And Langdon and Tomlinson, they're new clubs, so you would want to wait. It's only a small thing, but it's not a good look like on the culture. And I think a side like Geelong or Hawthorn wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, do you remember when Hawthorn was singing the team song? I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And they had cameraman in the middle. And one of the Hawthorn players, one of the younger blokes, just was waving him all out, saying, "Get out, get out, get out." And Hodgie disciplined him and said, "No, we don't treat cameramen like that, but you have to get out." It just shows the culture difference in the two sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Match review panel. I think everyone's seen it on Facebook. I think the Sean Burgoyne incident and then the Jeremy McGovern incident. Just a bit of a lack of consistency, really. You know, labelling Sean Burgoyne as a bit of a nice guy. It wasn't a very nice tackle.
It was late.
For starters, it was very late and it was very dirty.
I know Noah's strong on this. Do you think if it was someone like a Toby Green, it would automatically be 1 week?
I think so, yeah.
I think if it was anyone other than like Sean Burgoyne, Danger, Nat Fyfe, probably would have copped a week easily.
And they always go on the...
The result of the outcome. The outcome is the word, yeah.
So that they... And I think... Stephen Hawking, is it? They're trying to change it. So there's been a bit of talk on that.
Yeah, well, the Jeremy McGovern incident as well, boys. You know, have you been reading the comments on, you know, the West Australian?
He didn't even know he punched him.
Yeah.
I think it was 6PR radio on here in
Thought
Perth.
He had an open hand.
It was this one.
Yeah.
It was that one.
Yeah, I think he was saying that he didn't mean to punch him in the face.
The claw,
he clawed him.
Yeah. Well, I think it was 7 News he was on last night, and he was saying, "Oh, I didn't mean to punch him in the face." Well, that's just the culture.
I don't think he really needed to retaliate to it. The Sexton bump on him wasn't really
The push
deserved
it. Was worse.
Yeah, 100%.
McGovern,
yeah.
He didn't get... Obviously, if you haven't heard of McGovern, did not get off last night. So he'll be on the sidelines. And who else, Luca, to finish us off?
Well,
Dino.
Talking about the Eagles.
Oh, boy.
We've got...
A big fan
of the Eagles. He'd be a member if he could. It's Dean Margetts in strife for the no mark.
Shocking.
Terrible.
Shocking decision.
It was terrible.
Crucial moment of the game as well.
The goal umpire.
Arguably cost us the game.
I reckon the goal umpire.
The goal
they
umpire.
They need more power. The goal umpire needs more power in the game.
Now, yeah. The goal umpire has called it a mark.
Yeah.
The goal umpire.
The goal umpire.
Whose sole job is to just tell you if it's a point or a behind. Not say if it's a mark or holding the ball.
Yep.
Now, if the goal umpire can get that decision right.
Dino, mate, seriously.
Dean Margetts.
His vision was blind.
Anyone, though. Any other, if that was the Eagles.
I don't think it was blind.
Free kick, 50 metres.
But Tabana clearly had control of the ball.
That was a mark.
Yeah, it was a mark. Every
and I think Margetts would definitely know pretty soon after that he made a mistake.
Mistakes happen, but...
They do.
He did let a couple go Frio's way after that.
Yeah, you did see. I think it was a chop in the arms instantly, yeah, in the pocket afterwards.
Yeah, there was a fair few, but Dino allowed it. Got to make it up for him.
Yeah, that wraps up in stripe. In saying that, just to quickly finish up, Tabana, he probably does need to take his opportunities more. And
I reckon he probably could have held on to it. He did let it go.
He had a few snaps and set shots at goal. So I know that if Freo won the game, we probably wouldn't have been having a discussion right now.
In saying that, though, do you guys remember when Matt Tabana did first start playing for the Dockers and he couldn't mark a thing? He's such a good marker now, but he just can't kick.
They need to get someone down at the club to work on goal kicking. I don't think it's a high enough priority. But
Speaking of goal kicking though, how is Nat Fyfe snap from about 25 in front?
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
The traditionalists would not like that, would they? No. They love the set shot. If you're in front, unless you're right on the boundary, they think, nah, you got to have
it. You drop punting.
Was it a free kick or a mark that he...
There was two. There was one right in front, and then there was one which was on a bit of an angle. Yeah. But
set shot, drop punting.
They both went through
those.
That's all that matters.
Exactly.
The tips. Noah, can you talk us through the leaderboard and through this fixture as we'll make our tips and then wrap up part one?
Yeah, so after two rounds, Cal sits at the top of the leaderboard with 14.
Yes, please.
Bray in second with 13, closely behind Cal. And then Ethan with 10, Luca with 10, and sadly, myself with only 8.
You got two on the weekend. That did not
happen. That is shocking.
It was a bit of a tough round. Cal's nearly pulled one out of his ass here.
I could have tipped Geelong as well, but I tipped Hawthorn. I could have had 8. So
We'll tip again. Obviously, Bray is not here, so he has sent through his tips, but... Noel, would you like to reveal the fixture?
Yes. So, Thursday night, Richmond versus Hawthorn. Who are we going with, Ethan?
I'm going to go with the Tigers. Their form, even though they had a draw, they'll be too strong for the Hawks.
I'll go with the Tigers. I think they're going to eat them alive, as they say. Tigers for me.
Yep, same with me. Tigers, pretty easy one. Hawthorn were pretty diabolical, so, yep.
Yep, I think it'll actually be a close game, but I think Richmond will win. Friday night.
Sorry, it's Braves. Oh, the Braves as well. Yep, which I guess is expected.
Yep. Friday night, Western Bulldogs versus GWS. Ethan, who have you got for this one?
Both sides need to bounce back. I'm going to tip the Western Bulldogs. I think they know, they 100% know they're in the firing line. They 100% know they need to win this game. They don't want to go 0-3 in a 17 round season.
Yeah, short season, no good.
The Doggies, I said it last week, but the Doggies.
There was a few tipping them for the flag this year, so that should be interesting. But Luca, who have you got?
Oh, probably got to go GWS, I think. I've just got a feeling, especially...
That
one's at Marvel.
It's at Marvel, so Western Bulldogs home ground.
Yeah, just thinking no home crowd. GWS for me. Don't really need to explain it. Just going to say it.
I'm going to go GWS. They've got a good rivalry, these two. Obviously played off in the prelim. Couple final series, but games between
16,
each other.
Yeah,
2016. Yep. So it'll be a good game, but I think GWS will be too strong. Bulldogs haven't really shown too much in the first couple of games of the season, so I'll go GWS.
Yeah, I'll go GWS as well. Better side.
Who's
Saturday
Bray
first.
Bray. He has sent it in. He is going with the Giants.
Giants.
Big fan of the Giants is Bray. But for Saturday, first game of the day is North Melbourne versus Sydney, also at Marvel. Who have we got, Ethan?
I'm going to say North. Kanga. I reckon they'll continue that phase.
Kanga. I'll go the Bloods with Sydney.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go North Melbourne. They had a pretty good game on the weekend. I think they'll back it up. I don't rate Sydney as a team, so that's why
I've got...
Don't
rate them as a team?
Don't rate them as a team at all. Okay.
I'm going Sydney as well. I like the look of Sydney, actually, with Isaac Heaney. I reckon he's going to be a great player.
I don't think they're too
they're
crash
trying
hot.
To isolate him one out, aren't they?
Yeah. Next
Bray,
forward.
Bray is also agreed with me. He's going north.
Next game of Saturday is Collingwood versus St Kilda at the MCG.
Pies. Yep. Pretty simple for me.
MCG Pie for me. I'm going to go to Collingwood.
MCG Pie for Vinny. This should be a good game. Obviously, St Kilda's 2-0, so it'll be a good game. But I'm going to have to back my boys in and go with the Pies.
Always got to back the boys in.
Got to back the boys in. Can't go against.
You've got to tip everywhere.
Exactly.
I know we're not doing margins, but I reckon Pies will win by 4 points.
Four. Close one. Yeah. I reckon it'll be a close 100%.
Popped into the line.
Bright, who's he got?
He's gone the...
Pies.
Yeah, Pies. Yeah.
Saturday, Brisbane versus West Coast at the Gabba. This will be an interesting game.
Yeah. Again, same as the Western Bulldogs. West Coast will know the heat is on them. I actually reckon the Eagles will bounce back. I think they're going to come out really hard. They're going to try and prove a point. So I reckon Adam Simpson's going to get them revved up and they'll do the job.
I really hope the Eagles don't bounce back. And hopefully same with here. Jeremy same McGovern here. Out, you know, that's a big, big marking back.
Yeah, I would love to see that as well.
I'm going to go with Brisbane here. You know, just the way they played on Saturday against Fremantle.
Going to go Brisbane. Obviously, I'd really love to see West Coast go 1-2. That would just really not be good for them. The media will be on them. So, no Jeremy McGovern. So, I'm going to go Brisbane.
Bray's gone against his boys. Not like that to do him.
Fair weather supporter.
Exactly.
I'm going to go... some people to say.
I love the word plastic.
I'll go Eagles. Plastic. I don't hope they win. But I think they will. Saturday, Geelong versus Carlton at GMHBA Stadium. Ethan, who have you got?
I'm gonna go the Cats. Pretty easy for me. Like they'll just. This could be a belting, but you know what? It could be like an Eagles Gold Coast.
Carlton. Yeah, no one would have picked that.
I'm not gonna rule it out, but yeah, Geelong.
I think Geelong as well. I'd hope it's not a flogging, because no one ever likes a flogging in football. But yeah, Geelong for me.
I'm sorry, boys, but this is going to be an absolute flogging down at GMHBA.
Carlton by 100.
No, not Carlton by 100. I reckon Geelong by about 50 plus. They're actually going to pump them. So, yeah.
Yeah, Geelong for me as well. Who's Bray got, Ethan?
Bray has gone the Caps.
Yep. Very good.
Down the same all round. Sunday, Gold Coast versus Adelaide at Metricon Stadium. Ethan?
Suns.
Oh boy. Some promising signs coming out of Gold Coast. So yeah, I'm going to back them to win. Hopefully Matt Rowe can have another good game. That'll be, yeah.
Yeah, Stewie Jew's going to get the boys up and firing again. So hopefully Gold Coast and back... Gold Coast? What am I saying today? Gold Coast Suns...
Grammar isn't the best, is it?
It's not good at all today. Gold Coast to win. I hope they back it up. So yeah, Gold Coast.
Yeah, Gold Coast for me as well. Who's Bray got?
He's gone the Suns. We're all
on the Suns.
Yeah. Well, we're either watch, all watch them get right
get,
or wrong.
Watch them get pumped.
Last two games.
Sunday, Essendon versus Melbourne, MCG. Who have we got?
I'm going to go the D's. I think they'll not bounce back because they didn't lose, but they'll want to, again, I'm saying it again, prove a point.
Yes.
As to why. Yeah.
Well, it's the D's or the Dons, isn't it?
Yes.
Essendon for me, I feel. I just got that feeling.
You love to don the sash. You did
it
last week.
I'll don don the sash again. It's probably not going to work out for me, but we'll see what happens.
Back them in.
Yeah, I'm going to don the sash again this week as well. Same as you, Vinny.
I'm going to go to the D's.
Bray's going to the Dons. And last game.
Fremantle versus Port at Metricon. Game of the round,
I hate
I'm predicting.
To do it, boys. I'm sorry. I'm going poor.
He needs his tip. He has to come back. He needs his tip.
I think their form was too good, and I think, you know, the youngsters, Dersma, all those blokes were just...
Wait, let me just say before you guys tip, Fremantle are the type of side that wins these games loses these
They actually are. That is a valid point.
Was it Geelong last year? Predicted to absolutely...
Collingwood.
Yeah.
GWS.
Yeah.
Oh, those guys... The Collingwood one was away as well, and GWS.
Yeah. I'm going to back my boys in. I'll never go
against
them.
Of course you're going to back your boys in.
So, yeah, Fremantle for me.
Yeah, this is going to be my surprise upset of the round. I'm going to go
upset.
For... upset. Freo's no chance, but is my upset of the week, so we're going Freo.
Freo for me as well,
and
always.
Bray's gone poor, of course.
Oh,
of course he has.
Playing a resi side.
That's going to do us for part one, but after this, we're going to speak to a current AFL footballer who will also answer your Q&As. That's coming up next.
Otten's fed it out to Selwood, straight away off to Farco. Farco can go all the way, runs to 45, Travis Farco! Oh, what a start for the Cats!
We're very excited to have this man part of our show. He's our first player that has played a game. Oh boy, he's played not only a game, 221 of them. Pick 15 in the 2005 draft, 138 games, winning two premierships for Geelong. In 2014, he moved to Collingwood and has played 83 games since. wearing the number 18 Guernsey. It's Travis Varco. Trav, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, an AFL player's schedule is really very packed, especially in the current climate we're living in. But how's things going?
Yeah, it's going good, mate. Thanks for having me on. It's been quite a strange one, actually. Like, I'm guessing everyone in the broader community has been thrown into disarray, really. We're still trying to figure out how our program works, how many we're allowed to have in a group at a certain time. It's quite different, and I guess we're all learning on the go.
Yeah, well, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about today, but we'll go all the way back. Can you talk us about your early life growing up and coming through the Sandful? And was football something that you always wanted to make a career out of?
I didn't, to be honest, I probably didn't really take it serious until I was about maybe 16. So I just ended up just playing for my local town, Smithfield, in the northern suburbs of Adelaide, and was lucky enough to play in a couple representative sides that I fell under the Central District's zone in the Sandful. So, I just generally played because my mates did, and when you were going to school, I didn't really want to miss out on just all the weekend talk about playing sport, so I thought I'll just tag along and see how we go, and got to a stage where I was playing for the Central Districts, and wasn't until I was about 16 that I thought this could possibly be a career path for me.
Yeah, now settling into the Cats in that early 2007 season, was it hard to miss out on being a part of an AFL flag, even though you were young and managed to be a part of a VFL one anyways?
To be honest, I think when you're young, you just sort of, things go pretty quickly and your head's spinning a bit. I was getting to train and play alongside some greats of, not only Geelong, but, they'll be greats of the AFL. But I didn't really think about it too much at the time. As a young guy too, you're sort of just happy to play one game. It was a little bit disappointing to miss out on the final series in 2007, but having said that, to win any premiership at any level is really hard to do. So to be part of the VFL one in 2007 was, that was a massive, massive achievement for me.
Speaking of the greats, as you touched on, you were given Gary Ablett Senior's famous number 5 Guernsey. How much of an honour was this, as well as having Gary Junior as a teammate?
Yeah, it was. I think for me personally, when they did ask, it was from where I'm from in Adelaide. It's not much is sort of come out of my area and. Being a young Indigenous man, making his way through the cycle that, most of us get caught in, back in Adelaide. It was just more driving tool to say when my opportunity is when I get to go back home, to be able to, do some work with the youth that I'm not just, another voice that's just trying to get people on the right path. I've actually come from that area, and being able to do something positive, it turned out to be a massive part of my life. But that was very good to accept that. But as playing alongside Gaz Jr. and Nathan at that time, they were pretty wrapped. But for them, they just wanted to make their own name, I was just lucky enough to be at the right spot at the right time, and I was very grateful to receive that.
Yeah, no doubt. There's not much better Guernsey, I guess you could fulfil.
Yeah, I don't know if I fulfilled it, but
done pretty well.
Definitely an honour.
Yeah, and in 2008, you guys were raging favourites all the way. And that year's grand final, you did play in. How long did it take you to move on from that loss and start to focus on 2009?
Yeah, again, I was pretty young. So it was just like walking through the doors in 2005. You know, we didn't have a great season in 2006. Got to play in a pretty successful side in 2007. So it comes around to 2008, you think playing finals and grand finals is like it's going to happen every year, which is, you know, you work out pretty late later on. But that just isn't the case. So I just thought it, at the time, yes, it was hurtful, but we got over it pretty quick as a team. Finally got back to pre-season for the 2009 season. It was a burning desire to make the most of what we've got and the group that we've got and see how far we can actually take this this team. So it didn't really take us that long to get over. Like I said, once we walked through the doors for the first day of pre-season, that was the burning desire to get back to hopefully winning another flag.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing as well because you were able to move on from it and really, you know, which probably paid like dividends for the next year, not really just go, oh, what if?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I think I might have watched something on Luke Hodge and as great as this to win one, the ones that have sustained success generally, you know, they celebrate it, what it is then, but as soon as they get back to the next pre-season, the next challenge, it comes old news. And it's not until you'll probably, for me, it won't be until I retire that I'll actually look back and really reminisce and have great fond memories of everything. It's just, and that's what footy is these days. It's always the next challenge. What's next? What's the next thing in front of me? You know, as a season goes on, it's always about the next game, the next training session. And if you think too long and hard about it, the competition catches up to you and goes past you pretty quickly. So, it is. You got to move on pretty quick. But I guess if you do it right, you can reminisce about that for the rest of your life after you finish.
Yeah, so you did briefly just touch on it, but could you tell us a bit more about that 2009 season? You were a key player, key figure at the club. Could you tell us about how that changed your career at just the age of 21? Or if it did?
I guess just finding your feet a little bit, but I look at that lineup, in that Geelong lineup. I was a pretty young fella coming through. I had energy to burn and to give off to my teammates, whereas that was what I had to try and bring to the table, because I had all the older heads around me to guide me and pull me into line when I needed to, just to keep a calm, steady ship. And you probably go onto that forward line and it can range from Cam Mooney to Darren Milburn came down there for a bit. Matty Stokes was a massive, massive influence on my playing career. Chapman, Johnson, sometimes I get a little bit embarrassed to say that I was lining up alongside these guys, but it was actually my job at that time was to give them energy, give them spark, have fun, have a big smile on my face, and they just kept the ship nice and steady for me to. Just do my thing, and I'm forever grateful for that team.
Yeah, could you tell us a bit about the grand final? Obviously, you guys had a bit of a rivalry with the Saints throughout those years from about 2009 to the previous couple of years. But even when you handballed the ball to Paul Chapman and he kicked that game-winning goal with the snap, could you tell us a bit how that felt and what that experience was like for you personally?
Yeah, to be honest, I sort of got wrapped up in the emotion of the game and It wasn't until probably a week post the granny that it actually sunk in that, you know, footy brings so much joy and pleasure to people's lives that I didn't actually realise what we'd actually achieved in, I guess I got to play in the 2009 one, but to the guys that played in 2007, it was a long drought before that for the Geelong fans. So I didn't actually realise how significant it was at the time. But yeah, like I said, looking back at it now, it did bring so much joy. Just even walking around in the street that, you know, people, you know, my grandma got to, she was holding on to, you know, you guys to win a, to win a flag, and you know, they, she got to see that before, you know, they passed away, and like it's just so much joy that sports in general brings to so many people.
So Steve Johnson grabs the ball, kicks it. Gary Ablett, Scarlett Topo to Gary Ablett, kicks it forward, bit of a fly in the pack, and then you handball up to Chapman. Talk us through it.
Yeah, well, wind it back to Steve Johnson. I could see this play. That's a very gutsy kick. You know, if it bounces another way, you know, St Kilda could probably run it all the way to their goal line, but we had Bomber Thompson was very, very big on, you know, just being gutsy and, high risk, high rewards. And that, like, I know everyone, Scarlett's toe post is probably the best toe post I've ever seen, but to pull that kick inside was unbelievable. And then once Gaz got it, it was just more just try and get to the fall of the ball, and lucky enough for me, it spilled out to me, and I'm yet to see a better snap in the comp in my time of playing than Paul Chapman. So it was just there. It was a no-brainer. Just get it to him and let him do his thing. And fortunately for me, I was part of a pretty significant play on that day. But we know that footy doesn't come down to one play that wins or loses it, but you know, that one will sit in the minds of the footy fans for many years to come, that's for sure.
Yeah, and of course, Chapman went on to win the Norm Smith. It was perfect timing. But just to finish off on the 09 grand final, every change you were down at, but what was said at three-quarter time, and do you think the reason you got across the line was that you knew what it was like to lose one, and so that drove you because you didn't want to feel that pain again?
That come into it a bit. Like you do all it. It doesn't. It's not a wasted season, and but if you get all that way, you know, we just had the mentality of you're here now. You might as well just go all the way through with it. And I just think we just had the belief within the group. Hearing the comments back after, you know, even to this day, like, I think our smaller brigade had that little bit more legs on the day. And I guess, too, a little bit came down to St Kilda, I don't think, played many games at the G at that point. So we had an enormous amount of confidence leading into that game. So I think, that St Kilda played maybe more than half of their games that Eddie had. That's what it was called in those days. But, so I think things fell into place a little bit more to our advantage. It was a wet day as well, which is another thing that we usually down at Geelong loved when it was raining and wet. We used to train it down there, and we had pretty good contested ball players. So I think we just had to stay the course and just carry out the game plan and what Bomber wanted us to do. And we didn't brace him until the last 2 minutes of the game, which they said that rivalry with St Kilda, generally that's what our games went down to.
Yeah, it certainly was a thriller.
Yeah, and another year round and into the new decade of 2010. Good season for you personally. I think you finished ninth in the best and fairest. But after losing the prelim final, Bomber Thompson was out and Chris Scott was in. How did you react to this and what did Chris Scott try and change?
Yeah, so I was actually on a plane to Ireland at that stage. I went and played in the international rules. So from leaving, I think it was Dubai, and landing in Heathrow, that had already been announced while we were in the air. So I didn't actually know until we landed. In terms of, I don't think Chris Scott had to change too much at that time. We had a good bunch of senior guys that would, not take the reins, but help facilitate what we've learned over the last 5-7 years. But it was nice to have Chris Scott as a different voice, a new face to our team. But I think 2011 was as much play driven as any year that I've ever seen. So it turned out to be a very good year. I think we played more with a chip on our shoulders, is that everyone thought that was going to be the year that it all sort of falls to pieces, and we had apparently we had an aging list at that time, and that we're going to be too old and too slow, and it turned out that we were too good in the end. So it was definitely a mixed bag for that year.
The team reached yet another grand final in 2011 against the Pies, and we have had Andrew Cracker and Leon Davis speak, who were on the losing side, so it would be interesting to get your view on how that game went, being on the opposition. First of all, how was it within the first seconds of the game, kicking that goal as well as two more that day? How did the flag compare to the other one? Was it more satisfying almost because so many people had written you off as well?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. We knew we had the right type of game style to take it out, but I think we just end up having a great run into that final series, and we felt like we'd been the best team at the right time of the year, and there's no doubt that Collingwood side was the best team of the year, but we just happened to be the best team at the right time. On the right day. So, it was, any game you want to start in, you just want the ball to be in your front half of the ground, and me playing as a forward that day, you just want to get it in there and just try and lock it in and just try and build some pressure. And if you can manufacture a goal and snag one, that's great, but you just want it to be in the front half of your attacking half, and to just actually break out and kick a goal within, I don't even know how quick it was, but set us off on that path was it was something that was for that really happen, and this set us off on a good path, and the boys just end up carrying on with it, and then I think Collingwood end up coming back in that in the last half of that quarter, so it turned out to be an arm wrestle after that. But like I said, you just want it to be in your front half of the ground, and lucky enough for me, I was the one to get on the end of it.
It's some elite commentary. I'm not sure if you've heard it as well, that goal as well as the one in the last quarter. Have you ever watched the games back or seen brief highlights?
Yeah, I've seen some highlights here and there. in terms of, I think I've watched the game maybe once or twice with my old man, but that's about it, really. Like I said, when you come to the end of your career, it'll probably be something that you'll sit down and really, really soak in what you've actually achieved. So, yeah, like I said, it's always about the next challenge. So, I haven't actually fully sat down and watched, you know, it in depth.
Yeah, that's it. Got to move on pretty quickly, no matter what. The first player to reach 100 wins, and even though you didn't win another flag at your time, you're still pretty successful playing in three more final series. If you could pinpoint it, why were you so successful, and do you still keep in touch with any of your mates from then?
Yeah, you still cross paths. Like, there's a couple that still play, that Excel still playing, Hawk, Tom Hawkins, Mitch Duncan, Alan Christensen. So you do tend to cross paths, but everyone sort of, while you're playing, you're sort of obviously in your own program doing stuff, and then after the season's finished, you sort of go off and do your own thing. But we do have a reunion every year, which is good. So, unfortunately for me, my family commitments haven't allowed me to really enjoy those couple catch-ups with the boys. Footy can be a very selfish game in the end, and it can be very taxing on the partners and the kids. So when the season finishes up for me, I try and give as much back to my family as possibly as I can, as I can. You do. Like, you can't play that amount of football together, spend, that amount of time together in a year and not have great friendships out of it. So one of those boys are going on to coach now. It's good to see good footy brains staying involved in the game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so you were traded to the Pies in 2014. Was it a bit weird moving to a club that you'd had so many fierce battles with throughout your career, including beating them in the big game?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that. I don't think it was weird. It's kind of like your first day at school, really, like going there for the first day. But you pretty quickly realise that when you start out training and you're all striving to win a premiership, and that's why you play and that's why you train. And, so that went out the door pretty quickly, and I settled in pretty seamlessly, and a bunch of boys that I play with, back then and now, are just so welcoming, like, with anyone that walks through those doors. So I don't think it was weird at all. It was just that first initial bit of, how's this going to sort of play out? Like, you would when you first went to school. Like I said, you find out pretty quickly that you're all striving for the same goal.
And when did you find out that you'd be leaving Cadinia Park?
I think after Jack Crisp was the key in it. Him and Dane Beams were able to trade, so it opened up the spot for me to come on board. So it was pretty much a bit of a waiting game, really, to see that. I haven't really got into the trade recruitment side of things, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to try and get a trade done or get someone through the door. I was fortunate enough that Jack, he wanted to move back to Melbourne, and what a player he's become.
Yeah, so moving on a couple of years, just going to talk about Nathan Buckley, but what sort of impact has he had on you? Did you back him in as the coach, even when he was getting criticised through those 2015 to probably about 2017 years?
Oh, yeah, I guess whenever a team doesn't go well and they have had a, you know, troublesome couple of years, it's generally the coach that gets the full brunt of it.
Yeah,
for sure. There's no doubt that he has the capabilities and is the right fit for that group. But I just think that the years that when I was there, we just got ravaged by injury, and you can't use injury as an excuse for your results. But you're taking, I think at any one time in that first couple of years, I reckon we had about eight of, you know, a starting 22 out injured. And I think if you take out a main bulk like that out of any side, you're going to struggle. But on the flip side, you know, you were able to find guys to get their opportunity and see which ones were, you know, could take their chance. And he did it pretty tough there for a bit, and I think he stuck to what he knows is gonna work, and the club stuck by him, which is good. And it's starting to pay some dividends now, and hopefully for him it can go one step better.
Yeah, well, injuries, they can have a massive part, and it can be the difference between make or break. But memorable is probably not a big enough way to describe the 2018 season. How did you turn it around to earn a top four spot and a double chance starting off against the Eagles with the daunting task of travelling to Perth?
Yeah, that was... you don't ever want to play, West Coast or Frio over there, let alone in a final. It's so loud, and it gets draining. It's actually quite intimidating to go over there and perform in front of a hostile crowd. So, but it was a great challenge for our group. It didn't go our way that night, but definitely, like, the way I sort of look at it, and it's probably because you're at the other end of the spectrum being the older one, is that the younger guys that are pretty young in their career, this will hold them in good stead for many, many years to come. And hopefully they get big opportunities to play in big games on a regular basis. I took that as, you know, that's going to hold the club and this group in good stead for many years to come.
Yeah, so would you say you tried to pass some of your knowledge and experience on to those younger players, around the build-up and the parade of the grand final? And again, it seems to be that you're built for the big moment. So can you describe the emotion of kicking the opener on the run and dedicating it to your sister, who I'm sure is so proud of you?
Yeah, I was on a different wavelength. For emotion, a lot of my football for that final series was out of pure passion for love of the game and my family, wanting to do them so proud. And I know that Maggie would have been looking down on that. And the result didn't go our way, but it was just unbelievable. Like, I can't string together the words that would actually explain how good it felt, how proud I was of that group to get that far. We came so close to it, and for obviously for myself, it was an unbelievable play, an unbelievable kick. Stole it away from us, and I often think about
footy stories, and there's no better one than Dom Sheep for 2018. That's probably hurtful for the Pies fans, but his journey to get to grand final day was unbelievable, and couldn't keep the better kids, I don't think. So, but yeah, it was one that is a whirlwind. That's, you know, rememberable in a different sense, not in a results-driven, in a results-driven way. It was just so many things that had happened in my life at that time. It was just crazy when I think about it now.
Yeah, for sure. I can only imagine. But following that loss, you did seem to be reasonably upbeat. There was a photo of you picking up Jordan Goey, which I thought was a pretty selfless thing to do, which was straight after the game. Can you elaborate about how you felt after the game?
I think most of the boys, after the grand final, you know, you put everything on the line, it can be quite deflating, not getting the result that you're after. But my thought after the game was we didn't embarrass ourselves at all. So I just wanted the boys just to stand tall and just, you know, like, it's not like we didn't turn up or, you know, it was a cracking game. It's like one of the best grand finals as a spectacle for people to come and watch. And, everything had its moments. Everyone had their moments, but it just wasn't our day on the day. And, I just wanted the boys to know that, you know, we didn't let anyone down. It was just a cracking game of footy, and Jordan's such a special player, and, you know, I've got a lot of respect for what he can do on the field, and he's just such a nice. I've learned so much off of him in the time that I've been there, even though, you know, he's a lot younger. You can always take things and bits and pieces out of people's lives. And, I just didn't want him to think that, you know, he could have done anything more, or that, it is what it is. And, it just didn't go our way that day.
And you've been pretty open with your story and, I guess, the challenges you've faced. You're obviously on one of the Fox Footy shows, On the Mark, I think it was. So is that something you, like to do or want to get your message out there? And does it, I guess, make you feel better in any way getting some stuff off your chest?
Some things are just better to, you know, get off your chest and let go, and other times where it's just better to just hold on. And but I guess that's what footy does, and it can be great for us, is that, you know, you've got a platform to express and get it out of the way, and that's just the great thing about sports and football.
So, moving on to the present, how did you fare being stuck in isolation? What were the main things you got up to? And can you provide the fans when you should be back playing after you recovered from a shoulder injury? Is that right?
Yeah. So, the first part of that isolation was challenging. I've got two young kids. One's 16 and one's 6. So, at two ends of the spectrum of homeschooling. So,
Would have kept you pretty busy.
You take your hat off to any teachers out there. Unbelievable. The amount of work. Yeah, I only had two kids to deal with, not 20 in a classroom. So, that was very challenging. That's what sort of soaked up a bit of my time. A lot of my time. And then just trying to keep motivated. I was sort of trying to just maintain what I, with my shoulder rehab, just try and get to a, you know, not lose anything. And luckily enough for me, I've been through a few recos previously, and I had somewhat of an idea of how to rehab, even if I didn't have the proper physios and doctors around. So I was able to progress it pretty well, actually. And by the time I got back to the club, it was right to go. So, yeah, just whenever the coaches pick me, is I'm good to go.
Yeah, that's it, mate.
And talking about the present as well, how did you assess the draw on Thursday night to open the season back up again? And without revealing too much, what are the key things that you spoke about as a team?
Yeah, well, that was one of the most built-up pieces of the game to watch as a spectator. Like, obviously, when we're not playing, we can't even go to the game, which is unless you're in an emergency, which is quite bizarre, but... yeah, so I watch it just generally as a footy lover, and yeah, it was quite hard to watch. Obviously, for me, I sort of know what we're trying to carry out as a team for the Pies fans, but yeah, it was quite hard to watch. It had its moments, and then. It became a pretty scrappy affair. But I think for us, it was this week. It would just be more getting back to what we know, being clean around the contest, and you know, giving our forwards the best opportunity to do their work in the front half of the ground. So I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel. It's just hone in on those couple of things that make us a great side.
Yeah, so you don't think you'll change much going into the clash with the Saints, who are coming off an impressive win themselves?
Yeah, I think obviously you've got to give a bit of thought to St Kilda. You can't just go out there thinking about yourselves. They've got some pretty classy players. They've added some speed and depth to their group, and they look like they're playing an exciting brand of footy. And I think Brett Ratton's facilitated a lot of these players to just play on instinct. So, especially with a young group like that, they get the tails up. It's going to be pretty hard to stem their flow. So, we just got to come out and just put a stop to that straight away. And hopefully the bigger bodies around can take control of the game.
Yeah, they had a brilliant trade period. So yeah, it should be a good matchup.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last question before we get into the quick little Q&A. You're 32 years old, obviously. Have you given any thought to what you want to do post footy, or how many more years you want to play for?
I think everyone would like to play forever, but look, if it ended tomorrow for me, I couldn't ask for a better 15 years, really. It's been so enjoyable, even though I've had my ups and downs with injury, body's not letting you do quite as much as what you wanted it to at any given time. But I'll just, as long as they, they need me, or a team needs me, I'm happy to play and give it the best go I can. And hopefully help out some young kids along the way. As in terms of after footy, I do enjoy mentoring youth work, so I would like to go down that path once I exit the game.
I gather there's no teacher ambitions then, is there?
Unfortunately, the ISO period has definitely put a full stop to that one. So.
Well, at least you knew. We'll move on to the Q&As now. I've got about three or four here. Thanks to everyone that sent them in at Centre Square Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. First one from charlien_.23. Sort of touched on it before, but when you scored the first goal of the 2011 Grand Final, what was going through your head knowing you started at the other end?
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, it was more, all right, we got off to a good start. Like, let's worry about the next little bit. Yes, I was super pumped, and but you know, that was the first like couple seconds of the game, so I wasn't gonna, like, you know, that's the be all and end all. There's still, you know, 120 minutes to still play, so it was just more, all right, yep, we're on the right track here. Let's, you know, what's the next little bit? And again, that's just, you know, going back to, you know, what's the next challenge? What's the next bit? Because I can guarantee if I thought about anything of how good that was, I don't think I would have been team for the rest of the day. That's for sure.
Next one from Ben Chapman, 53. What position will you be playing for the Pies?
I've moved back to half back now, so I think that forward line is a very hard thing to crack into, and I've always loved half back, and you know, I expressed those feelings to the Bucks and said that that's where I think my best footy is, and so I've trained all of the preseason at a half back role, and yeah, just hopefully my opportunity comes soon.
And lucky last from all-rounder Jazz Holt. She wants to know, have you ever been racially vilified? And if you were, like, how did you move on from it? Or experience it?
I think, you know, you'd love to live in a world that has, you know, none of that discrimination whatsoever, but it's just, yes, I have, and I just, you know, try and think of it as it's not, it's no reflection on me or anything I've done. It's pure ignorance, and you know, you can express the, you know, the perpetrator, you know, how that made you feel, and that's all you can do. Like, it's education for me. Like, okay, look, that's not right. That's just how it made me feel. Hopefully that person, and you know, 99% of people go, yeah, no worries. Sorry, I didn't know that's how you felt. And you know, you can't change the world overnight, but if you change someone's thought process, you know, that's chain of change. So that's the way I sort of look at it.
Yeah, all got to be in it together and just block them out. Trav, I'm sure we could talk all day, but that's about all we got time for you today. Once again, we're so grateful for you giving up your time. We'll keep in contact throughout the year and wish you all the best, not only the remainder of this year, but for years to come, both on and off the field.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
See ya.
Thanks, Trav.
Take care. Bye.
See ya.
Stay tuned to the socials at Centre Square Podcast on all our platforms. Noah and Luca, it's been great to be alongside you. Enjoy the footy, and I hope you go well on your tips.
Yeah, hope to go well, but
yeah, hopefully see what happens.
See you next week for another action-packed show. You've been listening to the Centre Square Podcast on 91.3 Sport FM. Take care.